Welcome to this edition of Radio Goes to the Movies. I'm Joy LaClaire. On August 14, 2020, we spoke with Beth Ann Kennedy, Artistic Managing Director of the Bozeman Film Celebration, about how she came to create the BZN International Film Festival, whose first season was in June of 2018. Her training in speech, music, dance, and the dramatic arts from the early 1970s, as well as her decades of experience acting, directing, and producing in theater and film, contributed to her success in bringing to Bozeman what has become an annual film festival. Her excellent interpersonal skills and work with business and international government leaders, educators, entertainment celebrities, musicians, choreographers, and thousands of American youths prepared her for the gargantuan effort of coordinating the many people and jobs required in bringing a film festival into reality. After only its second year, the BZN International Film Festival was listed by Film Freeway among the top 100 festivals in the world. We asked her about her experiences, challenges, and goals over the past 3 years, and about recreating the festival during a pandemic. Our conversation took place in a garden, and it includes commentary from the neighborhood birds and dogs. Enjoy. Welcome to Radio Goes to the Movies, Beth Ann Kennedy. You are the director of the BZN International Film Festival, now in its third year.
Well, thank you, Joy. It's always good to sit with you.
Likewise.
Even if we're 6 feet apart.
Yeah, especially. I would like you to begin by talking about what it was like 3 years ago to create this film festival from nothing.
It was fun. I mean, it's been an incredible adventure. It's been one of the biggest challenges I've ever had in my life. And for some reason, I've taken on challenges in this journey that I'm on. One, because I just moved here and I didn't know anybody. I mean, truly. So this became this incredible entree to go into, whether it's offices or chamber meetings or city hall or whatever. And I've been given this opportunity by George Dorsey to produce a film festival. He has another home in another state, and they had started a film festival a couple years before, and he just felt that it was such an incredible thing for the community. That community is in Vermont, and it has a college in town as well. And so because of MSU, where he had a child actually went to MSU of his, but the film school there, he just thought this would be terrific. So he meets me. And he and his wife decide that this would be something they'd really like to fund. And I'm off to the races. I am like a dog. You throw a stick and I think I have to run and get it. So I go after all these sticks. I laugh now because I have a beautiful office downtown. But I did it for the first basically 2 years out of the back of my little Ford Focus. And pitching this concept of a festival that would work well for the Bozeman community and for Montana and for filmmakers from all over the world. So it's been a blast and kept me up a lot. But it's really been a blast.
So the first BZN International Film Festival was the second weekend of June in 2018. How far in advance of opening night did you actually begin the preparations?
Well, it was June of 2017 that I first met with Mr. Dorsey, and that was actually about a different job. It was something that he was the former owner of Old Main Gallery. And so we kind of met to talk about that through this odd connection of mine through Santa Fe. And in the conversation, when hearing kind of my story, he said, have you ever produced a film festival or worked on a film festival? And I said, well, I was one of the founders of the Colorado Environmental Film Festival. And he said, I want to do a film festival here in Bozeman. Would you figure it out and do it? And I can remember just sitting there going, well, that's interesting. And coffee turned into like a 2.5 hour conversation. And then he said, I want you to meet my wife. She's got better instincts than I have. We sat with Gail Dorsey at their home here in Bozeman. And basically by the end of that conversation, he said, okay, I want you to meet some of the people that I work with in Vermont. And I basically started working on it immediately. I got several books because I drove to Vermont. So I got several audiobooks and listened to those on film festivals and the industry from a different perspective. And it was actually George Dorsey's idea to spotlight women. Not that it's exclusively about women, but and I remember this is June of 17. And he says, you know, how about spotlighting women? And I'm like, yeah. Then in August, that was when things really hit the fan. And I did not at any point want the festival to look like it was male bashing. I truly believe that all of us have to be around the table, whether it's all genders, you know, if we're talking about that issue. If we're talking about the environment, we've got to get everybody around the table. We can't make these ideas or plans and think we can go forward unless we really get a really large consensus. So we decided the first woman that we'd, or the first female that we would spotlight would be Mother Earth, because she is the female in all of our life. So then we started growing this huge environmental component. So I started going to several film festivals around, like Telluride, which is like such a great festival in Colorado, and Citizen Jane, and just started talking to people that have been running film festivals for a while, making those connections. Barbara Bridges in Colorado and Denver has been such an incredible friend and support. And I just basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'd never been to Yellowstone. I moved here the end of November 2016. And in that time, I was working in Washington, D.C. So flying every 2 weeks back to Washington and then coming back. So I hadn't had a chance to get over. And that fall of 2017, I said, okay, this is the last day I will take that isn't exclusively about film. And I went on this pronghorn adventure. From then on, I know I did nothing basically except focus on the festival. Screening films, I screen every film. So it's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours of films. And I'm talking to filmmakers. I kept thinking, because I'm living in this place trying to figure out this whole deal. And everything I own actually is in a storage unit. And I would think, well, if this is a disaster, I'm just going to pull up a truck to my storage unit and disappear. And after the festival, and everybody will say, whatever happened to that woman that was buzzing around Bozeman with her BZN thing? So fortunately, it was really met with a great deal of appreciation. So we went into year two.
I know I speak for many at Gallatin Valley Community Radio, KGVM, with feeling a particular connection with BZN International Film Festival, because we began broadcasting on May 11th of 2018, just 4 weeks basically before BZN International Film Festival 2018 started.
Right, began. I remember.
And speaking personally, I was crazy busy interviewing filmmakers and featuring movies that would be at that film festival. So we sort of feel like we were born at the same right. time, like we're twins or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back to the fall, November of 2017, you had to create a crew. I mean, at first you were doing it pretty much all yourself, right?
Yes. And then Phoebe Lewis, who actually is in Vermont, she was brought into the mix, and she came out here in, I think, November of 17 and worked with me. She had done volunteer work with Sundance, she worked in Mill Valley and the Middlebury Film Festival in Vermont. So that was great, because she had done some real hands-on. She's this wonderful woman in her 20s, and she would meet people in town at like Crosscut and different things. And she'd say, I think I found somebody for such and such. And we just kept talking about it, and it was incredible the people that came to BZN. Because I feel that if we allow the universe to step forward for us, it's there. I kept doing that because I would look at a position that I knew I needed somebody and think, wow, okay, I know that there's a person out there that would love to do this, and I need to just kind of open up my thought. And it was amazing, this team that came in, the enthusiasm, the commitment, and the intelligence and creativity. So that just kept kind of coming to our door. I mean, I have interviewed people, but most of the time, it's just been the correct fit at the correct moment.
There is a very large cohort of volunteers also.
Mm-hmm.
What was your experience with coordinating or working with, first of all, how many volunteers did you have that first year?
50.
50. Oh, that's a lot of individuals, a lot of personalities.
Yeah.
I attended. It seemed like it went very smoothly.
What could you share about the volunteer aspect of it?
In that year and the next mm-hmm. year? Because this year is a whole different deal.
Right. We're going to get to
this. Right, yeah, yeah. Gosh, we'd have these great meetings. I mean, Robin Earl Bush, who has ERA Realty, she stepped forward almost immediately as a sponsor. And one of her offers as a sponsor was the space at the Visitors Bureau. Right down in town, the corner of Main and Tracy. And we would have meetings there. And besides, the space is so wonderful. I can remember the first meeting we had with volunteers. And I've talked with them. My background is as an actor and singer. And if I have a part, I usually am fine. But it wasn't until recently that I could stand up in front of people and talk. I talk a lot. I'm a big talker, you know I am. But that I would feel relaxed enough. And somehow that's so switched for me. And I remember being conscious of it. I mean, it wasn't just in 18, but being conscious of it when it happened, being willing to love everyone in a room. And when you do that, the right words come out. And by love, I mean to be identifying that individual with their highest self. And we're not always doing our highest self, obviously. But if you can look at each person in a location, and that's what I do on stage during the live events. I think about everybody in that auditorium being at their best, being to love them, just to see their greatness. And then it's amazing how you're able to speak because that ego, the insecurity, all that kind of stuff falls. And I think from the very beginning, when I would speak to the volunteers and then the different volunteer coordinators we've had, it was just everything flowed. It was just inflow. And then treating them really well. We have like these wonderful dinners at Fork and Spoon and including them and making sure they know that their position is imperative. We couldn't do it without volunteers.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Fork and Spoon because a component of the BZN International Film Festivals has been interfacing with community organizations. Could you speak about that aspect?
Sure. One, it's just something that I've always done. Most of my work has been for not-for-profits with my event company. It was just, I mean, that's who I was looking for. My mission with my company was to work with organizations that were trying to raise consciousness. So that's usually foundations. So that's a real place in my heart. And then number two, there's the practical, I've got to sell passes side. And all these organizations, if I step forward with films that would support their mission and conversations around them, then that may convince them to reach out to their community, whether it's the end use or their sponsors, to have them directed towards the film festival. So it is both. So yeah, like about 15, sometimes there have been 20 local organizations. And by local, I mean all over Montana, like our work last year with No Kid Hungry. I mean, we do work, say, okay, look, go to No Kid Hungry and say, food insecurity, big issue, right? Big issue, fine. Let's get some films around this. Let's build a conversation. So as an example, because of Steve Bullock and his wife Lisa's work with No Kid Hungry, I connected with them and screened films specifically for the area of food insecurity, all different levels. And then we had conversations around that. And then Wells Fargo stepped forward and donated $10,000, wrote them a check. So there's just wonderful coordination. And I don't know what it is. I just love that part of my job. So whether it's this year, a lot of what we're doing is around Empower Africa, this piece that Ted Turner Award is going to, called Saving Africa. And all of these different organizations in Africa connected with America, working to save animals and land. And to be able to do that, I just love it.
What would you say your greatest challenge or the worst thing that happened during the 2018 season?
We were using space at MSU, and this is the time that we were given to be there because school was out. And I had never been here in the summer, so I didn't really know what was going on. And the campus was empty. And so here we had all these great films and great conversations, people that came in and talked about their particular issues. And it wasn't well attended. The evening films were very well attended, but during the day, it was not. The audiences that were there, they really loved it. But you're kind of looking at a handful of people. And there's like that sadness because people have worked so hard. It was a gorgeous weekend. That was another thing too. I mean, it was like in the 80s, whereas, you know, it can be snowing. This June was snowing here in Montana. And who's going to go inside, like outside enjoying it? So it was interesting how that was, it was the sadness that, so.
I think there was some curiosity in the community as word got around about this festival in 2018. You had to prove yourself. Let's just put it that way. There was like, how can she possibly do it kind of question going through. Well, nobody knows how you did it, but you did it. And it was a tremendous success. And you earned tremendous respect and regard in the community for doing it at many different levels. The moviegoer level, the entrepreneurial level, the city function level, the university level. So the festival 2018 is over. You get to take a few deep breaths. And then you're off to the races again. But this time, people know you can do it.
It was really interesting after the first year, the amount of people that said, I mean, literally said, you did everything you said you were going to do. Of course, I wouldn't have said I was going to do it if I didn't do it. Your words are very kind. I am privileged that these answers come to me. I don't necessarily think they're coming out of my brain. So often I've sat at my desk. In fact, I can remember with the Ted Turner Award. I hadn't thought about that. Ted Turner had come to the first year, came specifically to see the Jamie Redford film, Happening at Clean Energy Revolution, and to meet Jamie. So he comes, and afterwards, the Turner Foundation wants to talk to me. And we're on this phone call, and I'm asked, what do you want? And I'm like, what do I want? And I was just kind of, I kind of take this thing with my hands underneath my desk where I'm going, okay, come on, help me, what's the answer? And it came, I want a Ted Turner Award, and I want the award for the film that most inspires environmental stewardship. Because we opened up the festival and were asking for films about the environment, I got a lot of films, and they could be well done, pointing out the problems. But actually, very few actually talk solutions. And it doesn't make any difference if it has to do with environmental issues, gender equity issues, whatever. If the film doesn't have some solutions so that we can start a conversation afterwards and actually let the audience go out with some kind of list, action items that they can get behind, that's not a film that's going to be, as far as I'm concerned, beneficial. And so all of a sudden it comes to me, yeah, Ted Turner Award for the film that most inspires environmental stewardship, it's a cash award. And it changed the films that I started receiving. And I think it also allowed filmmakers to know that if they did that kind of film, that there would be not only the outlet to screen it, but the possibility of getting this award. So I do love the fact that this inspiration comes, and that I had this recent epiphany about that. We hear so much about the muse. And that concern, what if the muse leaves me? What hit me the other day was that the muse or inspiration is always there. It's always present. And it's kind of like going into the room. You might not hear the radio waves that are in that room because you didn't turn on the radio. What I work to do is to keep myself open and available. And to do that, that means as hard as it is, you cannot put any energy in anger and frustration and revenge. You have to keep your connection going with love and compassion and forgiveness. You can absolutely look at the issues, the problems. You have to look at them and then look for solutions. And don't stop there. It's like, yes, you can get angry, but don't stop there. Or don't think that being angry is doing anything. I mean, it's amazing. There's so much anger right now. And people think that's actually doing something. And that doesn't do anything. You can look at it. Get angry, see why you're angry, and go, now what can I do about this? And if we open that, if we're in that space, the muse is right there. Whatever you want to call it, divine consciousness, source, it's right there. And it gives you the answers that you need. And it's so exciting. And the things that come to me, I know they're not coming from my brain. I don't have that great a brain, but I am willing to listen. So does that answer your question?
Well, whether it answers my question or not, it answers a question. And similarly, I'm just a channel for truth, hopefully.
That's why I think we get along so well.
And so this is a vehicle for communicating these sorts of things. Now, I want to get back to how the film festival is organized. Obviously, it has the films, but you also have devoted a great deal of attention
to panel discussions around the films. Could you talk about that? And I know that there are particular individuals who have worked really hard on that, and I'd like you to talk about them as well.
You mean like Heidi Putman? Oh my gosh, she is absolutely incredible how she reaches out to... Well, she's just got such a wonderful manner about her, right? And she's so interested and she's curious. She's been great. Even right now, she's been doing some of the interviews for this year. She will take that curiosity and intelligence and be able to connect people and see where all of the dots are coming together. So that's been wonderful to work with her.
One of the aspects that probably doesn't get thought of very much is the technical aspect of arranging a film festival. And I personally had many occasions to beg help from Emily Hook, which she was always very generous with. What can you talk about that part of putting together a film festival?
Well, it's mandatory. mandatory critical. Yeah. If the films don't start when they're supposed to, you can lose people very quickly and you lose confidence. And it was a decision made early on. And this is actually Phoebe Lewis had said this, to run every film in the theater, in the venue, you know, so this can be like 10 venues, but to run them to make sure that they're working correctly on whatever computers you're using, the projectors, all those pieces. So we run every film before the festival itself. So that's a big deal to get that done. And Emily, who goes around on her bicycle from venue to venue. She's so brilliant about that. And she pops in. Now, it was interesting when I first met her. So this was somebody that Phoebe had met at some gym or something. And she's saying, you know, I think she's really good. And I thought she vetted her and everything. Okay, fine. So then I meet her. She's about as big as a minute. And she looks like she could be like 15. She's got this incredible youthfulness about her and enthusiasm. And I thought, uh-oh. I can't, because it was at that, you know, over 70 films. And I thought, this is too much. I know this is too much. It's not that she can't do the work, but it'll be too much of a weight. And fortunately, and again, this came to me. I don't know how I knew this, but I turned to Kristen Wimberg, who's an incredible filmmaker here in Bozeman. I'd been introduced to her by the fabulous Betsy Gaines-Guaman. And I said, Kristen, would you please just, I don't want Emily to know that I have any concerns, but could you just be, and I demonstrated by putting my hand at my elbow. I said, would you just be there with her so that she knows that somebody else's eyes are on this? And they did. They met, they sat, and it was just what Emily needed to show her brilliance. You know how sometimes we might be brilliant, but we might need somebody there that has our back. And so Kristen stepped in and did that. And then Emily has just been incredible. And she's been working for the festival now nonstop, even though most of this year it's been really part-time because of the needs of the festival. But we've been on the road together. We do the BZN film rodeos. And she's also gone off to the 4 different states screening films with the BZN film rodeo. And she knows her stuff. And I think there's something about this youth brain. When they look at the computer screen, I think they see it so differently. I mean, I open up my computer. I still go to the upper left-hand corner and do it as if I'm reading a book or a paper, right? They don't. I think they can look at the screen and they see everything on the screen at the same time. Their brain takes it all in. And she certainly has that ability. She's a great writer. She's got very creative ideas. And it's been incredible to have her on the team.
You mentioned Betsy Gaines-Guaman. And she's a member of the board.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the board of directors for the film festival and what their role has been.
Kit Stevenson is at the library, which we all know the library situation right now with COVID has shifted. But that's a really good community connection. So when I lean on her, one, she's helped me with screening some films, but also to know, to kind of have that tempo within the community. Betsy Gaines-Guaman and her husband David are amazing people to have here in Bozeman. Betsy's just, she's so insightful. She's so much fun. And she will screen films for us and give us thoughts. Because I screen everything to begin with. But then sometimes I have to send something out and say, okay, what is your thought? Am I seeing this properly? Same thing with Jill Momaday. So she's an old friend from Santa Fe. And Jill is able to look at films for me, although she's not a board member. Jody Palin has been great. Shane Doyle, about making sure, as I look at it, as this Anglo female, am I seeing the right things in the Native American pieces that we choose? Jay Perini, who's just an incredible writer. He's in Middlebury, Vermont. He really looks at certain aspects on more of an international basis for us. George Dorsey, who's the executive producer, he's on the board. His position is huge because he keeps the whole thing floating. Tim Crawford, and Tim and actually his wife, Catherine, is kind of involved with it too on her side, but screening films, certainly. And again, Tim is a very longtime member of the Bozeman community. His theatrical background, his photography, what he brings. So yes, they're a mixed bag. I put it together, really thinking through what would be the benefit in their different areas of expertise. Oh, Andre Eastman, you know, with all of her work in Hollywood and in New York. And it's amazing. We didn't meet until I got to Bozeman. We have a mutual good friend, Allie McGraw, who's a friend of mine from Santa Fe. And Andre Eastman has worked with her forever. But we met here through the wonderful Stacey Osorio, who's here in Bozeman. And Andrea has helped. She's been this great help. She had a good connection with Glenn Close. Glenn Close is receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award this year. She's just been really great. She's strong and supportive and creative.
What did you change in the 2019 BZN International Film Festival, perhaps based on what you had learned in 2018 or for any other reason?
Well, a decision was made not to use the campus. Not that we might not want to do that in the future, because that might be the right thing to do. But last year, in 19, we decided to use the Museum of the Rockies, which technically is on campus, and to keep everything downtown. The first year, I worked to do all of the things during the day at MSU campus to keep the streets of Bozeman without having pass holders, thinking, okay, when people are, you know, wanting to go to work and everything, they don't want a bunch of people on the sidewalks. So MSU was great to kind of have it out of downtown, but we moved everything downtown except for Museum of the Rockies. And that worked out really well. And actually, people could walk around and get in the restaurants and the shops as well as the venues for films. That was a big shift. I'm trying to think if there was any other big shifts. Not really. I think the thing is that how many more sponsors wanted to come on board. And we had more of a party atmosphere the second year. There had been some things several years ago, the beginning of 2000s, with some other things that had been in town that had not that been great in some ways, but had left not the best taste when it came to party activity late into the night. So I really knew that I had to be very sensitive to that. So we didn't start really having any real after parties until last year. And then very conscious about timing with them to make sure that as we grow this, we're growing it organically and growing it in a way that Bozeman likes it, because that's got to be first in my thought.
Well, you're speaking of growth. What would you say in comparison to the first year, the second year represented in terms of growth? You've mentioned the sponsorship. Anything else?
I definitely think that we had stronger films. Because the first year, I mean, it was wonderful that people were submitting films from all over the world. I think the first year we represented like 19 different countries. We had four people come in from Dubai with their film. That was terrific. But I do think that the quality of the films was raised the next year. We got on the map. Last year, we were voted by Film Freeway as one of the top 100 film festivals in the world, of which there are thousands and thousands. When I first got that, I thought, God, this has got to be a scam. But it's actually because the people that attended the film festival, filmmakers and pass holders, had written comments about the festival and how enjoyable it was and how well run it was. And because of that, that's why we got into the top 100. So I think that's also why we were getting stronger films. And a lot of that operation that went on, Brian Strzala, who's like the director of operations for the festival, when things run technology-wise, Emily, perfect. But when all the other things, you know, all the doors open at the right time, the lights come on or go off, you know, that's a big piece of what Bryant was pulling off, as well as, you know, just having markings, the flags, letting people know where to go. All of those things are so good. Rachel Hicks was our graphic designer for 2 years. She's having a baby next month, so she was not able to have the position this year. So Matt Cameron has been doing it. But just the way that Rachel laid out the map, the program, the website, you know, so that there was clarity, so people really knew how, as we say, how to fest.
And you have had a festival poster competition too, right? Mm-hmm. Did Rachel coordinate that?
You know what? We sent that out on the website and then people would send things in. The first 2 years, Priscilla Perez, if she's out of New York, but she was a good friend of Brian Strazala's, and she was here visiting in Bozeman, and she's an artist. She does this wonderful work on windows, you know, when they paint the windows.
Yeah.
And she actually works for Starbucks all over the country and goes around and does their windows. But she did the poster the first year, and then she ended up doing our second year. We have a Montana artist, Carol Jenkins, that did this year's poster. But yeah, we do a competition and get those. So,
anything else you want to say about the 2019 season?
We did a female gender equity day at the Ellen, and the Ellen Theater is this beautiful theater downtown that these children actually had built and named after their mother. So it seemed correct to have our Female Empowerment Day at the Ellen. And
let us add that they were adult children.
They were little kids, right? And there were several things going on during the day, including, as you know, the film in the evening, Pamela Green film, Be Natural, the untold story of Elise Guy Blanchet. But during the day, we had this panel, and it was either 15 or 17 women on stage. And that was one of those things, which is like, how do you do this? We had put this call out and said, we want to do this panel on Friday, and we're having this guest of women from all over Bozeman to come. Men were invited too, but it was primarily women. Did a bag lunch sort of thing. And who would like to be on the panel? And we thought, you know, there'd be like 4 or 5. And then suddenly all these women are stepping forward, and I was the narrator, and my team comes and goes, you know, and Heidi was so brilliant with this, you know, Heidi Bubbin. It's like one of those things of saying, okay, how are we going to handle this? And I thought, wait a minute, if we do a Q&A from the audience, or if I'm sitting there and ask a question, I'm going to get 17 different, we'll be there for the next 20 hours. These are women. So it came to me to send their question in advance to them and then have their answer come back so that each person had this time period that they could address something. And again, how that came into my consciousness, I have no idea. And then the question, because usually I've got like about 80 films in my head at one time. So to remember that kind of the right information from each film, and then to know what the right question is out there is always this fun study. So I have to say that day was very, very impactful for those that were on stage, for those that attended, and for me personally, and for my staff.
I'm sure there's much more that could be said about season 2 of the BZN International Film Festival. And we are speaking with Beth Ann Kennedy, the artistic director of the festival. All right, so you've come off of these 2 wonderful seasons. You're all geared up for the next season that will again be on the second weekend of June in 2020 until February, and March has its own surprise, a pandemic of a coronavirus unknown to humans until that time, March 12th, 13th. Much of the country is shut down. How do you deal with this, Beth Ann Kennedy?
Well, back up a little bit. We started getting our films as of September 1st. And usually, for the first 2 years, historically, I would start watching films right away. There was a very strong emphasis that we needed at this point, after these 2, what we're seeing as successful festivals under our belt, to raise the sponsorship levels. Because a lot of our sponsorships, they had been great, but they were more in kind. And we absolutely needed to move forward to get the festival in the black, which it's not, you know, it's you know, the sense of the arts, right? So my marching orders from the executive producer was to spend all my time for raising sponsorships. And so I was just collecting all these films in my queue, thinking, okay, I'm going to get to them. My focus was December and into January to go through all those films. And we're talking of hundreds of films. I was out there looking for sponsor dollars, which is interesting because especially in Bozeman, people really are not, you know, if you talk about something that's happening in June, It's like a long ways off. You know, we got to get through winter first here in Montana. But then came December, and I actually was back east. I direct a show in New York City every Christmas time. I direct this incredible show in New York. It was my, I guess, my 24th year. It's called Bending Towards the Light, a Jazz Nativity. And Joy, I know you got the pleasure of meeting the writer and producer, Ann Phillips, when she was here last year. So I was there and I'm watching films all the time. And I'm hearing all this stuff coming out of China, right? And I'm thinking, this is something that we should be paying attention to. And as I'm watching films, and I was really being challenged getting caught up in them, which had not happened before. And I was kind of chiding myself that I wasn't staying on task. And this voice in my head kept saying, it's not going to make any difference. It's not going to make any difference. And I roll into January, I'm finally getting the films watched, but I was really being challenged, choosing which films, and thinking about programming. Headed down to Sundance, watching these incredible films, and out and about with no masks, seems like a zillion years ago. And again, I came back, and in February, I'm thinking, I got to get this thing programmed. I had all these plans, and this voice just going, not going to make any difference, not going to make any difference. And then March came. And then, in some ways, the direction of the festival switched. We were already working because Orvis came on as a sponsor. And a big piece of what they do is working with Healing Waters Fly Fishing, which works with vets and active military with issues of PTSD. So we were already had this component of, through our environmental films, water, how water is so extremely beneficial for people with trauma. And that we have to keep it clean. Like, what do we do? Because our water is in terrible shape. And it's the most essential ingredient we have here on this planet. So suddenly, we're all kind of locked up. And we're all dealing with certain levels of PTSD and anxiety and isolation. And it's how can this film festival in Bozeman, Montana, be something that will support health and well-being? So there were certain films that I thought were definitely going to be in the festival. And it was like, no, it's not valuable enough right now for this. And at that point, we were still planning on doing a 4-day live event and then this virtual platform, which started getting developed in March. And it really did impact not only the film selection, but my conversations, because as soon as we started the virtual platform, I started interviewing filmmakers and creatives and those within the international community that are working on these issues. And it would impact my questions. It would impact my thought, because all along the way with this, I've thought, where I'm so privileged. I get to live here in Montana and I get to be doing this work that I love. But this is not the world's story. And I see this so often because the films that I'm getting from all over the world show that the world's in terrible shape, not only from an environmental level, but as human beings, we are not in good shape. And people here in Bozeman, I had a friend say in the very beginning, she said, when is it going to get back to normal? And I said, who's normal? Because you're right now dealing with COVID would be a dream life for millions and millions of people all over the world, and that we're not being conscious of that, that we get so wrapped up in our own experience that we forget that we are all one organism, and that's human beings and animals and rocks and trees and water, and we're one organism on this planet. And if we don't recognize that and move forward with that, we don't have a right to live here. And that's impacted everything that I've been doing for months now to help people see that, to help me see it, and then to figure out ways to be a more conscious human being. We have this incredible gift. We're human beings. We can do so much. And to use this opportunity, this tragedy that's going on, as an opportunity to make this monumental shift into really being human.
So at what point did you have to let go of the June date? And how did you move on from that?
That really happened in March. As soon as kind of the lockdown was going on, I just called up the theaters. And at that time, they were like, for whatever reason, the 27th to the 30th, everybody had space open of August.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I booked those. So that shifted really quickly. It wasn't until during the summer when locations started saying, like with the Ellen decided not to open until September. It's like, okay. And then we're looking at capacity and what we can do. And Brian Strzala came up with this incredible plan on how to do the 4-day live event and doing it safely. And I can remember all the different aspects that were coming up. We were going to do the team photo. And two people on the team, one because she's pregnant, another one because of work things, they were like, I can't be in the photo because I can't be close to people like that. And that really did a shift in my head. I thought, wait a minute, we have got to be thinking of how to do this in this new piece and do it with a tremendous sense of joy. Because I'm not excited about keeping my mask on a regular basis. But how do we do it? And make it that we're doing it out of compassion for each other and, you know, certainly for our health and well-being ourselves. But so we did our team photo. We're all wearing masks. And then I went to Walmart and picked up a bunch of noodles. And we did what we call the noodle dance. And we all stood 6 feet apart with our noodles.
And you mean pool noodles.
I mean pool noodles. Yeah. So, yeah, all these blue noodles, which were very hard to find. Because there's been a run on pool noodles to be what I call, you got to noodle. We were noodling. And then I named the volunteers, all became masketeers. And coming up with ways to look at this, how do we move people into an auditorium, having to keep them socially distanced without people feeling, well, this is an imposition. How about it's not an imposition? How about, you know, and I don't call it a new normal. It's just like, let's find a way to keep our joy, to find more joy while we're doing this. So that's what started happening. So then there are certain locations that just from the cost alone, if we can't have more people in those spaces, it just does not behoove us to be in that space. So we kept kind of whittling things down and using this as an opportunity to actually go into other spaces. The big talk was like doing, you know, drive-in or outside. The challenge with that is that the quality of the film, I have a certain responsibility to filmmakers that the quality of the film, the sound, be at a certain level. So we had to kind of consider those things. And then, and I think your next question is going to be, what happened in July?
You know me well.
Oh, gosh, July. So July, the call is placed and with the executive producer and the VP. And recognizing that the health department had agreed to what we had put together and we were given the okay. And we had all these other organizations between the opera and the symphony and Shakespeare saying, you know, we want to see how you're going to do this. Because if you can make this work, then we can start thinking of what we can do with live events. So we were being greatly encouraged. I'm not saying that anybody showed up with their checkbook, but they were greatly encouraging us to go forward. But the decision was made. One, the students are all coming back to Montana State University. Well, they're back now. They're all like filling in right now. And that there could be this, you know, more spike. And it would not be compassionate for the community to bring in people from. And there were people that were coming in from all over the country because Bozeman is seen as a, you know, really wonderful environment right now. And so we made the decision to go totally virtual. So that was a big shift because you do feel like you're going at this point, you're going 150 miles an hour down the highway in a certain direction. And you suddenly have to do a huge U-turn or you just have to like, cause.
Or a 90 degree. Yeah.
And we had already been doing so much on the virtual. And it was interesting because when we were doing 4-day live and the 10-day virtual, I mean, my life was a lot more complicated, right? So suddenly it's just the virtual. I mean, we're doing a couple of little, there are some live things that are going on. I mean, like today I'm bringing over posters and such to the Visitors Bureau to the ERA building because this is our time to have everything in the windows. And we're still doing our downtown Bozeman pass holder deals which kind of started off of another event that happens in Bozeman. But somebody comes in with their pass, which is now on their phone because we don't actually have passes around our necks because we're not having any venues for events. But if they come in with their pass, they get some kind of deal.
At retail stores.
Retail stores, restaurants, you know, like Plonk and Urban Kitchen and Ted's Montana Grill, Open Range, but then also Head West and all these great shops in town.
Which has been available in the past.
Yes, yeah.
To pass holders.
Yeah. We've always done that, so we're still doing that. So we still have to have, like, the decals to put on the windows and the arrows and, like, and the program. I mean, there's still all these things going on, but with a decision to do an all-virtual event, a decision was also made because we have no idea at that point how many people are going to buy a pass for a virtual event. And so therefore, financially, we have to be really conscious. So there was a decision made to cut the staff down. Basically, at this point, Emily is doing technology. Thank God. Myself, Matt Cameron, is still working for us on any graphics, the website and the program. The Chronicle will have the insert of our program come out on the 23rd, which has all the films in it and our sponsors. We have another person in California, Matt LaFarionda, that's working with the technology end of the platform. And Caitlin Steinberg is helping us with marketing and social media. And that's it. And then I've pulled together the volunteers, and I'm suddenly now the volunteer coordinator, which is interesting. It's been fun. Now we have to, instead of screening all these films in the venues, because the films, we get them, and then they're launched on the Vimeo OTT platform, we have to now screen them all there. So we've been passing out films to people. It's not whether you like the film or not. Just make sure the sound doesn't go wonky. If there's supposed to be subtitles, the subtitles are there, and they are in, like, the right place. It's all those kind of things. So we've got this huge crew of people that are going through the 83 films that we have in the festival. And what we're doing on the virtual platform, we're doing a certain percentage of films from 2018, 2019, and then the majority of films from 2020.
And people go to bzn2020.com. To get the pass and information about this year's festival. And explain how the passes work. Is it possible to just go to one film, or do you have to get the pass and that gives you everything? And also, are the films being screened at a certain time, or does the pass allow one to view it at any time one finds convenient?
So the answer is yes to the last, your last question, part of that question. We had thought about the ability to have certain films, like our opening night film when we were still doing the live event was going to be Ron Howard's film, Rebuilding Paradise. And we could have done just that film with a couple of the shorter films beforehand. Shane Doyle is again opening up the festival this year with doing drumming and a prayer. Shane is Crow and also has a film in the film festival about the Crazy Mountains. And we could have done that. And then the next, so that would be the 27th. And so everybody that has a pass would be tuning into the same film. And we looked at that, and then we'd start opening up other films throughout the next 10 days. And we decided from the technology standpoint, we were putting too much on ourselves. She's like, okay, this is too much. So basically, on the 27th, and I think we set the time at noon Mountain Time, so that therefore, if somebody has their pass and they're in New York City, they could chime in at 2. But then again, we have pass holders that are in France and Germany, Turkey. So it's like, okay, their time frame is still, it's 12 o'clock Mountain Time. And it's every film. There are a couple of films because of distribution, licensing. They only are on the platform for like 4 days, or we have one film that's only on platform for 1 day. But the majority of films are on the platform for those 10 days. And then on top of that, I've done so far over 60, between myself and Heidi, we have over 60 interviews with filmmakers, most of them having to do with 2020, but I also have interviewed people from 18 and 19, or just filmmakers that don't have a film in the festival, but they have a voice as a filmmaker. And so we have a whole kind of filmmakers platform. We have a film, Donna, a wonderful young filmmaker. It's about domestic violence. And so I've interviewed him, but I've also had an interview with Haven here in Bozeman, so that people that are dealing with that issue, whether it's they are personally dealing with domestic violence, or it's a friend or a coworker or child or whatever, what do we do? What are the signs? How can we go forward? So a lot of the conversations are really on community action. So that's on the platform. And then after those 10 days, anybody that has a pass, they'll have access to that platform for a year. And there will be some films, but the majority of the films will not be up there. But we will be doing kind of follow-ups. As an example, we have a film called The Wild, and it's about Bristol Bay and what's going on with the mining situation there and the impact it's going to have on the water and on the people, certainly on the salmon. Right now, there's been decisions made from the administration to go forward with the mining. This is a reverse decision from what Obama had put into place. It would be my intent that we go back to the plan of not doing the mining, and we'll see as the months go on. And so as things change, I stay connected with the filmmakers and with those in that community to find out actually what's happening on the ground. And I'm not doing it from a political standpoint. I won't do that. And I'm not doing it as an authority because I don't have that background. But I want to make sure that we're kind of getting the hands-on news, because I think we have reason to believe that we're not always getting the news from the actual horse's mouth. Can I use that expression?
Well, it's an ongoing story, and so you're updating.
Exactly. And also like a follow-up, like with Rebuilding Paradise, you know, it's about Paradise, California, and the fires and devastation. But more important, it's about how that community came forward and rebuilt. So that's a huge thing for the festival this year. It's like, how do we rebuild? How do we rebuild in a more sustainable fashion? How do we show up for other people when our life is devastated? How do we still be present, be human? Well, that story is still evolving in Paradise. So as more information comes in, I'm working to have our BZM platform give that information to those people that want the rest of the story, or as the story develops.
Well, Beth Ann Kennedy, there's so much more we could talk about, but our time is up. I want to give you an opportunity for some closing words for our listeners.
We've worked really hard, and we need to sell passes. I mean, that's a big piece of this. We've got this wonderful discount that appears on the website. It says Bozeman, but I bet that anybody could just use it. I bet they could. So it's 25% discount. Sometimes people say, can I just watch it? Is it only on my computer? And it's like, well, it's any kind of streaming service. You can have that streaming service go through your monitor, wherever that is. I encourage people to watch it on a screen where they can really see it, not just a cell phone, because the filmmaker has done so much to offer this visual component that you miss if it's on a cell phone. I encourage criticism. I encourage people's thought about as we go forward with 2021, which I'm already working on. I would be happier if you don't call me right now because things are pretty intense. I have a wonderful office in downtown Bozeman at 133 East Main above Old Main Gallery. And during the festival itself, like on the 28th, there'll be this wonderful reception at Old Main Gallery that I encourage people to come to. I encourage people to get a pass and use their downtown business partnership deals, because our restaurants and our shops, they do need our support. So please get your pass so you can use that. Please check out our sponsors. We have incredible sponsors, and they've stuck with us with all of this. So I'm very grateful that everybody's stayed on board. And I'm just privileged to have this opportunity. Thank you, Joy. Thank you for doing this interview.
Well, Beth Ann Kennedy, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Goes to the Movies and for bringing such wonderful energy to what you have created in the BZN International Film Festival. Speaking for myself, and I'm sure many others, we really appreciate it.
It's my honor. Thank you.
You have just heard a conversation with Beth Ann Kennedy, Artistic Managing Director of the Bozeman Film Celebration, recorded on August 14th, 2020. You can find out more about the 2020 BZN International Film Festival by going to bzn2020.com. Radio Goes to the Movies is a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire for broadcast and archiving on Gallatin Valley Community Radio, KGVM Bozeman. It is also available on our website, forthright.media. Thanks for listening and for supporting your listener-supported community radio station, KGVM Bozeman. This is Joy LaClaire, signing out for now.